The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Roto-Roll Football Show. It is day four from Super Bowl Radio Row. Denny is yet to be expelled by Commissioner Roger Goodell. I'm Patrick Daugherty. I may have already said that. Denny, I feel like I can barely talk because our brains are fried. We have been so plugged in to the content machine.
We are plugged. Yes, the content machine is humming here on Super Bowl Row. There's more content being produced per capita here than anywhere else on planet Earth right now.
And the content machine is coming to its stunning conclusion on this show, where we have around the NFL's Greg Rosenthal and the Athletic Football Show's Robert Mays, seriously two of the smartest guys in the entire business. Greg Rosenthal, a former Roto-Worlder, a former NBCer, one of the best guys in the business. Robert Mays, one of the smartest guys in the business. But Denny, I mean, enough about the other people.
Let's get to us.
Let's get back to you and I. We've been doing a lot of cool stuff this week with Mr. Lawrence Jackson.
Yeah.
And we've been really busy since our final show. We've been talking to T. Higgins, to Ja'Marr Chase, to Breece Hall, to Quincy Williams. You may have already seen some of this on the internet, but if you don't believe us, don't take our word for it. Here is a clip of what we have been up to down here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Quincy, what is it like to be an all-pro NFL linebacker, and yet you are not even the biggest Williams brother on your own professional football team?
It feels good. Because number one, you get recognition from your peers. That's the biggest thing. And then, so when I got voted that was like real big for me, for real. Because that's one of those things where I like practice, like you dream about it at night and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, all the hard work is just showing that like they seeing it. That's the main thing. So just being voted on by your peers and stuff like that, and the coaches, them like people that's going through it, they know what they talking about too, though.
You said, by the way, what's wrong with the Pro Bowl voters, by the way? Because if you're an all-pro, you're an automatic Pro Bowler.
I don't know. I heard there's a lot of other stuff to doing there. All I do is just perform and then wonder how other people, you know, how people view it, though. But that's what it's about, though. Like, I don't want to come out here and sell myself. I want to see what y'all think about my play, though. So, like, I want to see what y'all say about it, for real.
Well, what we think about your play is that you're an all-pro. Thank you very much, Quincy. Now, Breece, when I say the words fantasy football... When I say the words fantasy football, what's the first thing that comes to mind for an NFL offensive player? Annoyance?
Very annoying, because just for me, just knowing that I'm usually a top pick in most people's fantasy. So, you know, when you don't have the game everybody wants to do, you're seeing it, you're feeling it. So it's a lot. But it's cool to know that, you know, I have that much support coming from people as well.
Well, final question is, do you know how big of a deal you have become in fantasy football? You're in the mix. This is not a joke for the number one overall pick next year.
Yeah, and I think it's deservingly so. But, you know, for me, it's just a testament to, you know, what I do and the product I put out on the field every week.
We love catching the passes, by the way.
Oh, yeah, Breece, I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for all the fantasy points.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Fantasy nerds seem down on Derrick Henry over the past, like, 2 or 3 years. Every year we say, this is the end. I saw you posted on the X platform the other day your list of top 5 running backs. Of course, you had you at the top. But you had Derrick Henry among the top 5.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. Tell me why he got into that top 5.
Just because of the type of player he is, like no matter what type of team, whatever team he's on, what scheme he's on, people don't want to come tackle him. So he's going to be a good fantasy player because he's going to pick up those yards. He's going to have a lot of yards every week. But, for me, my top 5, you know, I'm going to say I'm going to put myself at the top just because I was able to do what I did with the situation we were in and everything.
Absolutely.
But
what's your top 5 linebacker?
Top 5 linebackers.
Top 5 linebackers.
That's a tougher one.
I'm gonna put you and CJ at 1A and 1B.
Ooh, I like
I like that.
That's good. That's good politics.
Fred, Dre, Roquan.
Okay. I also saw you had Bijan Robinson at number mm-hmm. two.
That's my guy.
Yeah, so tell me about that, because, I mean, he wasn't really used the way that I know fantasy managers wanted him used in Atlanta. Do you think that he'll be used in a better way in 2024?
Yeah, for sure. Just because he's a third down back, every down back that could right. do everything. He catches the ball. He can run the ball. He can block, and he's just a playmaker. That's what I like to call guys that can do line up anywhere and do anything. Is a playmaker. That's how I view myself. And I'm excited to see what he does.
All right, thanks, Breece.
No problem.
We are here with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. We're going to start with Jamar. Jamar, as fantasy nerds, we want you getting double-digit targets every single week. There were 7 weeks last year where you
right
had under
gate,
eight
huh?
somehow. Yeah, yeah. We're going to get this rectified for 20. We figured you'd be a fellow traveler here and that you would also desperately want the double-digit targets. We're getting this rectified for next season.
I mean, yeah, I would want it too. T going to want it too. So,
you got to get
both in there. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Can't leave my wingman out.
Yeah, well, you guys send this interview to Joe Burrow, and it's like they're begging for the targets for you guys. And also, you're easily one of the best wide receivers on planet Earth. Are you the best former LSU receiver in the NFL?
Yeah.
I think so.
I had 20 touchdowns in a season. That's crazy to see.
You're tied for the third most touchdowns in the league since you came in, by the way, amongst receivers. I just looked it up this morning. So
that's lit.
That is very lit.
I don't keep up with stuff like that.
I know.
That's lit, though.
That's what great ones do.
Yesterday we talked to Breece Hall, and he kind of lit up when the prospect of you joining him in New York came up. We listed a bunch of free agent wide receivers this offseason, and he pointed out to you, would you like to join Breece in New York this year?
I ain't gonna say I would like to, or if I wouldn't like to. You know, it's where I'm at right now. You know, I have no control over my situation right now, as of now. But you know, I'm a Bengal right now, so I gotta stay one.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
And just about the Super Bowl, you know, you have experience playing these teams through the years. Do you see this as more of a defensive matchup, more of a grinding kind of matchup, or do you think it'll be kind of a back and forth, high scoring game?
I definitely think whichever defense is going to, you know, get the most stops. Obviously, that's how games work.
That's
but
right.
Whichever defense plays the best, I think it's going to come out.
That makes sense. Thanks, T.
Denny, one stunning clip after another.
Yeah,
I will say,
really,
Quincy Williams. I think he was afraid, you know, when I asked him why he wasn't the biggest Williams on the Jets.
Yep.
He kind of pivoted like a politician. Like he was afraid to confront Quinnen Williams' largeness.
Well, he said he's a good – I like it like that. That's that's what he said. By the way, that was hardcore journalism, if I ever saw
it. It absolutely was.
Oh, you know, I
love
to
stupefy Jamar Chase with my first question.
When we were formulating questions, and folks – you know, we did not take that lightly. Like, we really put a lot of time and effort into coming up with those questions. And we have heard Jamar Chase unhappy sometimes when he doesn't see the ball. As any receiver, you know, the enemy speaks kindly, holds a knife, that sort of thing. And so we thought, oh, well, we're going to ask him, do you want more targets? And honestly, when Pat asked that, I'm like, okay, here we go. And he was kind of like, I don't know.
Fantasy imbibed me.
Yeah, we're getting into this.
Yeah.
I was like, this is all there is, Jamar. I don't know, man.
Let me guess, fantasy and bio.
I mean, Jamar Chase sounds like fantasy and bio sometimes, the way he talks about targets.
I know. By the way, you were trying to get into the scoop game with T. Higgins, and he was having none of that. Absolutely.
I did. I was going with full Denny Schefter.
Yeah, and Breece Hall, though, he was like, yes, yeah, give all the touches, please. I will take them, kind sir.
That's right.
And he played ball. Jamar Chase, he's already – the enemy is speaking kindly and holding a knife there. He's which is a good sign, to be honest, for the double-digit targets for next season.
We're hoping.
He's all in. We are all in on welcoming in around the NFL's Greg Rosenthal right after this.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus chews.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. the longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
We are now back on Super Bowl Radio Row with Mr. Greg Rosenthal from around the NFL. It actually is NFL Network, but as Greg pointed out, we only care about podcasts, so we just introduce him as around the NFL's Greg Rosenthal. You're an industry veteran at this point. You're a Roto-World veteran. Do you hide that, by the way?
I'm very proud of that. I like feeling like the fact that my first Super Bowl was Patriots-Giants the first time around, so I like that. I like feeling old. Well, it means I'm smarter.
It's funny you mentioned your first Super Bowl, because I feel like I've known you a terrifyingly long time at this point. And one thing I've always thought about you is you have extremely good lifestyle opinions, like iconoclastic opinions on these kind of softball questions. But because you're a Super Bowl veteran, I wanted to know how you rate Vegas's first Super Bowl compared to some of the other host cities.
Well, not high, but that's only because I think of myself. Like, it's just a city that it's very hard to get a water.
I just want a chicken sandwich.
Yeah, coffee in your, like, they won't give you the coffee maker in your room, you could be at the worst motel in the middle of Wisconsin. What state do I want to throw under the bus here? And you'll have that. So, stuff like that. I just want it to be easy. Unless it's like incredibly fun, but you know, I work for the NFL. I'm not allowed to even hit any of the casinos or anything like that. So I'm looking forward. New Orleans is the number one Super Bowl location. That's next year. Vegas would be pretty low on my rankings.
It is
so
weird how you cannot get a water. No one has had a water in this entire place in 5 days. I'm afraid for their health.
So they're trying to preserve the Colorado River there, I think is what's going on there. But yeah, I just want to go get a coffee without getting hit with like five strobe lights, you know, in the morning. Like, right. Dude, 7:30.
Like, it's also just like there's so many people everywhere, we're taping this on Thursday, and so that just, I'm a little anxious about the weekend.
Every like blogger or podcaster type I've talked to this week is like, so everyone in this town is like loving it right now, but every blogger or podcaster is like, I'm not a Vegas guy. We even talked to one guy who's a Vegas guy this week, including Denny or I.
I feel like it takes someone to say I'm a Vegas guy. I don't know anyone who would say that.
Well, it does feel silly for us to come here and like, you know, rank them and complain about, you know.
Well, let's be real. It's better in Arizona, right?
But we're, I would take it over Arizona.
Same. We just had to bus Glendale, Phoenix, Scottsdale.
But you've been here since like Sunday. I only got here yesterday.
So. Oh man, yeah. Well, we ran the place on Monday and Tuesday. There's nobody here, and then the celebrities had to storm in and mess up our whole thing.
Yeah, Denny, we haven't seen the outside world for the first 72 hours.
I have been in. It's the Hotel California for me.
And I was also told, you know, that it didn't rain in Las Vegas, and yet it rained for 72 straight hours. And another extremely. I just feel like you'll have a good opinion on this.
Okay.
I think I probably know your answer. Is it better to watch the game at home or at the stadium? You've done a lot of both at this point.
No, I would say at the stadium. Ooh. So I don't think that's what you were expecting.
No, it was not. I was expecting the...
Like the most cynical or privileged thing I would say. Like my perfect Super Bowl experience would be flying in Saturday and then just going to the game. I think you kind of can't beat being at the game. It is very exciting, and I don't go to that many like live games. I go to some across the street from where we work, the Rams and the Chargers, but that's about it here and there. Like, so to me it's very exciting to be there and to see people being so excited, but that, like, it's very strange flex to go to like one game a year, but it's the Super Bowl. That's sort of where I'm at, because I'm not a real reporter.
Greg, right. Are you a hedge fund manager? Yeah, I was expecting the more cynical or iconoclastic answer. Of course it's better at home. So it's good that someone likes to watch. There's one reporter who has not lost their joy for attending the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I can't imagine the buzz in that place.
Yes.
Like, people must be just psyched out of their minds.
Yes, and like the number one perk of working at the NFL, which is crazy still to me, no matter what, if you're a full-time employee and you are working at the game, you get two tickets to go to the game to give to your family or friends, which is... Yeah, it's too late for you this year. But my son is going to his very first Super Bowl. My daughter, who's a monster Rams fan, sorry, you know, Pat.
Betrayal.
I got to bring her to see the Rams winning, so that sort of thing, like seeing whoever you brings joy and all that stuff, it's pretty cool.
So, yeah, for those who are listening, I made the Puss in Boots look at Greg Rosenthal with my eyes for the Super Bowl tickets. Right. And he didn't get the – all right, enough softballs. Denny wants to ask you some actual football questions, beginning with the man, the myth, the legend, Dan Campbell.
Yeah, so we talked about it last week, along with all other NFL media, about Dan Campbell's aggressive fourth down decision making in the NFC Championship game. I wrote a piece for NBC Sports, kind of, you know, defending him because I'm an analytics nerd and I like to see a guy do what he did. I was wondering what your take on it was, but also from a zoomed out viewpoint, what does that do? What does that NFC title loss for Detroit do for, you know, the what might be called the analytics movement in football?
He's wondering if it's a setback for analytics.
Is it a setback?
I don't think it is, because I think it keeps just going forward. Like, every week I'm watching a game where they go for fourth down in their own territory.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not a big deal. And I just think of, like, what a big deal it would have been 2 years ago. And how... I worked at NBCSports.com to, like, bring it all full circle. That's who I was covering that first Super Bowl for, was NBCSports.com. And I think back to the Belichick time that he went for fourth down against the Colts when they had the lead, and it was Brady versus Manning.
Yes.
That was a week's worth of national
coverage. That led the NBC Nightly News.
So I think Dan Campbell is helping to normalize it, and it didn't work, but I think everyone intellectually understands that's partly why they got there, and he's not going to back down from doing it. And also, like, on the list of reasons they didn't win the game, it's not in the top two or three. They just, like, didn't make the, like, plays. It's kind of like, I'm trying to figure out, why did the Chiefs make this game? It's like, oh, because Travis Kelce is just catching wild contested catches and they're completing passes down the field. They played better. That's the number one reason. They made the plays.
Yeah, Josh Reynolds drops the ball on fourth down. Jahmyr Gibbs fumbles the ball in the second half.
Right.
Those are the things that crushed Detroit.
We're never going backwards. Sean McVay, who's conservative, won a Super Bowl going for fourth down in his own end. Well, and I feel like that one kind of gets overlooked in, like, an analytics history.
It always gets overlooked. Yeah. No, if it works, it's like, oh man, that guy's brave. Well, but then that's over. The discussion's over.
That's what I keep asking if people, as my follow-up to this was it even, I don't even think it was analytics. I thought it was like a gut decision he was making, to be honest.
That's how he described it.
And that's kind of just like how, like, analytics is now being applied to, like, literally any fourth down decision, which is kind of weird, and, like, it's being branded.
Right, the way the announcers other than Greg Olsen talk about it is, like, analytics say, as if, like, there's these guys that are, like,
but they,
you know,
sneer.
Hanging.
They
sneer, like an IBM computer
right,
in
Joe
the
Buck,
sky.
And I love Joe Buck and Aikman, so I'm a little disappointed, but they're, like, analytics say, as if it's just, like, this room of analytics that's just, like, pressing a button. And it's like, no, it's just giving probabilities. And Dan Campbell didn't go for it at the end of the first half. I think that was his gut, too, because I think he just felt like in that spot he wanted to just keep the positivity going. And the spot he was in the second half was like, oh, our defense has stopped getting stops.
That's exactly,
you know,
right.
And we're not going to get any more stops.
He knew that they couldn't stop the Niners' offense, so they needed it to score. Also, like I told Pat last week, Dan Campbell didn't open his press conference after the game by holding up a spreadsheet and saying, see, guys, they told me to go. He didn't say anything even remotely close to that. He was like, I felt like we needed to go.
It's kind of huge, though, for people who are a fan of analytics, you know, who are supporting his decisions, that Dan Campbell is our leader.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Like,
I love it. I do love it. A big, strong guy.
No offense to Brandon Staley, but we needed the big, burly guy.
But also huge offense to Grant Steele.
Yeah, true.
We didn't really want him as a captain.
Greg, you mentioned conservative coaching. Denny wants to ask you about the coaching in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so, I mean, just on this analytics, I'm sorry, analytics chat.
I like it when Pat sets you up telling you what you want to ask.
Well, it's a little hard, and like we're not used to it.
It's
not
very,
like,
cute.
We're not like a hero, like around the NFL thing. We're not the heroes. We don't have, like, years and years of
We're
blinded by the light. They're too bright. Sorry. Anyways. But, Denny, I want to ask you a question.
All right. So both of these head coaches, Kyle Shanahan and Andy Reid, are on the very conservative end, actually, of fourth down decision making. The Athletic did a piece just the other day. Kyle Shanahan, over the past two seasons, is 23rd, the 23rd most aggressive coach on fourth down. Andy Reid is 27th in that category. The thing is, though, no one has been more conservative on fourth downs than Kyle Shanahan in the postseason.
Mm.
So what does that say to you about how this game might unfold?
That it could be a, more of a defensive game and more of a running game in general, which like keeps the score down. It's so crazy with these two and Shanahan in particular because he's so cutting edge in so many other ways, and he's so pass heavy when he needs to be. I love the evolution of Andy Reid going from a guy who, to me, changed the NFL in terms of how he coached offense. Like, he really did in Philadelphia. Right. And Kyle Shanahan is very much that guy for this generation, like 15 years later, changed the league in terms of how he calls offense. And yet they're both, there's some, like, hardcore football part of them that, in terms of how they grew up, that just, like, can't get past that.
They can't ever quite leave it behind.
It drives me a little crazy.
Well, he, in the 2019 Super Bowl, 54, I guess, when these two teams played, Shanahan had two chances to go for it near the red zone on fourth down and went for a field goal on both.
Mm.
So, you know,
maybe the Jake Moody factor makes him not do that.
I'm surprised they didn't sign a veteran kicker for this game, to be honest.
I am too. Jake Moody makes me very nervous if I'm a Niners fan.
When you draft a kicker, though, they keep you on the roster for like 3 years. Like a 68.7%.
I mean, unless he just completely melts down, he's going to be on the roster for a long time.
That was another thing. Dan Campbell has been like radicalized against kickers. Like he pulls up his fourth down sheet and he sees the words Riley Patterson. He's not even on the team anymore. He's like, yeah, we're going for it. He's like, you know, we cut Riley.
Michael Badgley?
Yeah.
The Browns literally won a game because their kicker got hurt.
Isn't that amazing? Also, the Texans. The Texans lost their kicker, and it was
that game where
C.J. Stroud went crazy.
That was the game where C.J. Stroud went totally
because
nuts.
They couldn't go for field goals. This is the key. Don't roster a kicker.
It's more fun, too, that game where the Browns won it, there was a 4th-and-8 where they never would have gone for it, where Joe Flacco was like in a bear hug from the defender, falling over and threw a sideline route to Amari Cooper, who was open. It was maybe the single greatest play anyone made all season. And it would have just been like a chip shot field goal, so we would have missed out on that.
So we can't let you leave without – we have to get your opinion on the game, of course.
Oh, and I thought you were going to, like, talk Roto World history.
We'd love to do that. But maybe we will in just a second. But
no,
Denny
it's okay.
and I – So I've been like a Chiefs guy the entire time. I was like, that's Mahomes. Like, I don't even bother. This is a game where I don't even do analysis.
It's great. It's great to have a conversation with a guy who just goes, Mahomes.
There's no point in even doing analysis of this. I'm a Mahomes guy. But then we've been hanging out like bettors all week, particularly Drew Dinsick. He's gotten all in my head about like, he thinks the 49ers are still like an amazing betting opportunity, that they're by far the better team. Basically, is it a numbers Super Bowl? Because the 49ers, they're the EPA slight favorites. They're the numbers overall favorite for sure. The Chiefs are, of course, the narrative favorites. Patrick Mahomes, the best player in the NFL. What is taking the day in this game, numbers or narratives?
Well, it worries me when the guy who dropped off room service last night at the hotel, he was like, oh, you're in town for the game. I was like, yeah. He's like, who do you like? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I said, and he's like, well, the public's really on the Chiefs, but all the big money, you know, I've been talking to people here, all the big money. It's like, wow, the room service guy has like hot takes. And yet, like, I'm on the Chiefs, and I'm on the Chiefs not just because it's Mahomes, but because doesn't the last 4 weeks matter more? Shouldn't that be weighted more, that the last three big games the 49ers have played, their defense has been tangibly and objectively bad.
Almost
the Ravens, against
apart.
The Packers. And like, so that seems like the biggest weakness to me, and they're, and that is enough for me. And also the opponent, like, they felt very ready to be picked off, and their opponents were lesser than the Chiefs, so I put a little bit into that. And so I lean Chiefs, not by a ton.
The Chiefs road I keep telling people the Chiefs are like, they're Golden State Warriors mode at this point. You know, back the final KD days, like the regular season, like, who cares? Like, we'll work on the rotation until like the final week or two of the regular season. Then the real season begins. Like, the Chiefs did literally say they had like a 7-receiver rotation.
Yeah.
And they were spreading the ball
like
around.
We're like the 2011 Patriots who didn't win. But that defense was terrible. The 2018 Patriots who were very like sometimes they do just play better in the playoffs.
Chiefs Kingdom, we must fight back. And Greg Rosenthal on the vanguard of Chiefs Kingdom, apparently. I don't know. Yeah, any Roto World memories you want to share there?
No, I don't know why I threw that out, but I'm glad. Look, we didn't have any Super Bowl set.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I was the only football writer to start out with, and would do every game on Sunday for like for 1 year, I think it was.
I think this literally would probably not have been possible without you. You, for better or worse, you cut a direct line to Denny Carter and Patrick Daugherty at the Super Bowl.
I love it. I wanted to set that groundwork for them to overwork and underpay you as much as possible.
Hey, listen, and we appreciate that. You know?
Listen, times are changing. NBC is a very good place to work. And Greg Rosenthal is an extremely good friend to have. Greg, thank you so much for coming by. We will be back after this with the Athletic Football Show's Robert Mays. Greg, thank you so much. Say hello to the heroes.
Will do.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
It is now our distinct pleasure to welcome in the Athletic Football Show's Robert Mays. I just realized we stole our naming convention directly from the Athletic Football Show. This is the Roto-Roll Football Show. So he's of the Athletic. He's of Chicago, Illinois. He's of the University of Missouri. Robert, is Mizzou football back still for us? We seem very back some days. Then other days, we're getting our defensive coordinator stolen by LSU.
That was a tough moment. That was a real tough one. Especially after him tweeting out the Leonardo DiCaprio meme like 3 weeks earlier about how he was going to be back. Tough one.
I know. That was a real, real tough one. Wow. Another tough one, by the way, you have to explain why you were in a hot dog costume today on radio. You're a very calm, composed guy. You wouldn't be the person I would expect to show up to Radio Row in a hot dog.
That's why we thought it was a fitting punishment. Because I want to be taken moderately seriously, I think that having to do that was a big thing. So me and Nate, who's my partner on the Athletic Football Show,
great guy.
We each picked five teams before the season. Mm-hmm. Whoever had fewer wins at the end of the year had to wear a hot dog costume to Radio Row and record our big Super Bowl preview in the hot dog costume. I lost by a lot, so I was the one that had to actually do it.
Who were your five teams?
The Bengals.
Ooh, that's okay. Yeah.
Tough beat.
The Chargers.
Mm. Yeah, you should have known better.
That is the one where the punishment fits the crime. Yeah. Like that's as a lifelong or as a constant Chargers believer, I died how I lived in the Chargers. It was very fitting.
He died doing what he loves.
I had the Jags.
Okay.
That's tough.
The Bills and the Eagles. Can you think of five more frustrating teams to have to tie yourself to over season?
You ran
it was
so
awful.
Cold.
It was awful.
When the Eagles were 10-1, here is
the
suit.
Look at that. He's looking for the guy who did this.
That's
He's
right.
looking for the guy who picked the Chargers.
Brandon Staley was the guy who did this. That's who did that to me.
Brandon Staley, but the Eagles were 10-1. You're like, the Eagles are going to keep me in this. And then they win one more game.
And the Jags.
Yeah.
The Jags were rolling. If they could be the number one seed in the AFC. The Jake Browning thing, I was like, all right, maybe I can stay afloat for a little bit longer, but just too much happened on the back half.
You really ran cold down the street. Yeah, 8-3 and 10-1 to hot dog costume. So we're going to pick your brain in the Super Bowl. Denny did notice something pretty interesting non-Super Bowl that he wanted to ask you about before we get into the big game talk.
Yeah, that's right. So I saw you posting about the Titans going with Brian Callahan as their head coach and also bringing in his father, Bill, to – I guess, coach the offensive line. You seem to be kind of bullish on that. Tell us why.
I think that Brian Callahan is a really interesting candidate. I thought he was an interesting candidate for the last couple of years. He interviewed very well in Denver 2 years ago. It was his only head coaching interview based on people I had talked to about it. And then he interviewed in Indy last year, and I had heard very good things about how he presented there. And I just think that if you look at the traits that successful head coaches have, there's a humility to him. He's very open-minded. He communicates really well, specifically to players. What that Bengals offense has looked like over the last 3 or 4 years, they've really undergone a lot of interesting shifts. You know, they had this shotgun run game they leaned into in 2022 that was kind of a pivot from what they had done. If you look at what they were doing early on when Burrow got healthy, it was a lot more under center stuff, the motions that they were using. He's just had to figure stuff out over the last couple of years, and I think the problem-solving element to it, how many different offenses he's been in, he's the Peyton Manning offense he's very fluent in, what the Bengals were. So just his demeanor and the kind of the collection of his background and experience, he's just an interesting candidate to me.
Would you expect him to bring in, and the Titans as a team to bring in, competition for Will Levis, or do you think that he would commit to him as at least a short term?
Danny wants you to say they're going to bring in Jake Browning.
It's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. I don't, because this is a front office that obviously picked Will Levis, but I think part of that was, you know, they were trying to do two different things at the same time in that front office. They were trying to compete and rebuild at the same time. So was Will Levis the actual plan? Was Will Levis's, was he that ran Carthon's kind of, hey, you know what, we're going to do a little bit that's a slow play? I don't know. I have no idea what their view of him is right now.
Titans front office is strange. I was just thinking while you were talking about Mike Vrabel, essentially seemed like he forced a power struggle and won it with the previous GM, but then this time there was a power struggle and Mike Vrabel lost. And so I think they're kind of doing things backwards, except for like the hire, like it's like the platonic ideal of a kind of hire you want to make as a coach right now, just all the right coaching trees, the right approach. They didn't let the Joe Burrow injury even sideline them in Cincinnati. They made things work with Jake Browning, and it was the least sexy hire probably the entire cycle. He's got big Matt LaFleur energy, basically.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of teams are wanting that collaborative approach where you have somebody that's willing to come in, work with people, and just be, you know what, a welcoming voice within the building, somebody that has open arms and that's going to be easy to work with. And that's what Brian Callahan is going to be. You know, Mike Vrabel cuts a big figure. Brian Callahan isn't necessarily that sort of personality.
Too big a figure, apparently.
Yeah,
I can't even get hired.
Diana said that on my show to me, and that was misconstrued in a lot of ways. Yes,
okay.
She thought it was ridiculous that someone
may have
had
taken
that,
and run with that.
That's okay. I totally understand how it got legs.
Wow, that really did get legs.
But you know, how could that not get legs? You know,
it's a funny concept.
By the way, Brian Callahan, it might not hurt that his dad is the greatest offensive line coach of the 21st century, and that was maybe a nice fringe benefit to hiring him. Also, check out the folk singer Bill Callahan if you're unfamiliar. I think Robert knows what I'm talking about. I don't think Denny does.
I have no idea.
Just because I've Googled Bill Callahan before, it's one of the first things that comes up. Yes.
He's one of the greatest out there. But Robert, with the Super Bowl now, we'll start you off with the question we ended with Greg. I'm just going to ask you the same thing I've been asking everyone all week, where the canned way I've been asking this, is this a numbers or a narratives Super Bowl? Where the numbers all say the 49ers are the better team. The narratives and the eye test, you know, say it's Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs were so impressive in their playoff run. Boy, did they really quash that. Well, Patrick Mahomes never even had to play a road playoff game, and he easily wins two road playoff games against two of the best teams in football. And just, I mean, we know it's both numbers and narratives, but just where are you coming down on, like, the 49ers on paper, clearly the better team, but then it's the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. What side of this are you on?
I honestly think that if you look at the numbers and some of the more analytical sides of it, the Chiefs still have some advantages. Like, as I was really digging into the game and the things that Chiefs want to do defensively, zone blitzes, kind of these nebulous fronts where you're not sure if it's an even front, you're not sure it's an odd front, you know, just creative pressure packages. A lot of the things they want to do are things that the Lions did in the NFC Championship game. The Lions just don't have as good of a defense or as good of players. So I think there are a lot of elements to this matchup specifically that are actually in the Chiefs' favor. So I don't think it's some Patrick Mahomes and the aura that comes with that and even this four-week run. I think that a lot of things the Chiefs did well all year line up very well with the Niners' weaknesses.
Yeah, I was looking in to how they perform, how the Chiefs' defense performs on third down. They're top two in EPA given up on third downs. Really good. The thing is that, you know, the counter is that the 49ers are the best team in the league on third down. So every time I found a spot where the KC defense really shined, it seemed like, at least according to the spreadsheets, that the Niners should have an answer. But they have been kind of spotty this offseason, so it makes you obviously wonder if that's going to come through in this game.
The teams that the Niners have struggled against are teams that are going to run a ton of different coverages, where there's not going to be a lot of predictability because you're just in single high and you're loading the box all the time. The Chiefs are one of those teams. The Chiefs run less cover three than any other team in the NFL this year. You really don't know what you're going to get.
I don't know if I knew that.
And the other side of it is, even when they blitz, the Chiefs, one of the stats I threw out on our show just now, the Chiefs played split safety coverages, so 6-2 or 4. 50% of the time while bringing five pass rushers this year. The NFL average is 16.
Really?
So the soundness and the complexity of the coverages that they play don't preclude them from bringing pressure.
Right.
So it's just a different sort of challenge than really any other pressure-based team you're going to play against, because it doesn't make it easier on you because they're playing man or cover three like everyone else is.
We were going to get into this question in a minute here, but I thought I'd just tack it on here since it fits well with what we're talking about. You know, talking about how the KC defense operates, how do you think Brock Purdy can best attack this defense, if at all? I mean, are there any spots in the defense where he can have some success or deep parts of the defense that he wants to avoid in this game?
See, you're talking about the strengths and weaknesses all year. This has been a chief strength all year. And
right.
It seems like maybe the single most important matchup of the game.
I think that it's about getting the ball out quickly and getting the ball to guys in space. I would be shocked if Deebo Samuel didn't have at least 8 targets in this game. I think that he's going to be a centerpiece of what they want to do offensively. If you look at other teams that are heavy zone teams that play a lot of two high coverages, the Packers are one of those teams. Deebo gets hurt so early in that game, I think it really did throw a wrench in their plans because he was going to be central to their approach. So I think making sure you're creating space and getting the ball in Debo's hands and CMC's hands in space is one of them. The other things, just in the passing game and how they're going to attack them, the Niners run all these condensed formations. It is one of the hallmarks of their offense. But if you do that, you leave yourself susceptible to slot pressures, to a lot of different sorts of blitzes. If you look at what San Francisco did against Baltimore, they actually spread things out a little bit more in order to not let those disguises get played to the defense's advantage. So if you can do that and create some space in the middle of the field and get those linebackers on islands,
right,
I think that's another area where you can actually make some hay.
I love the call for Deebo as an X factor, which I know we're not breaking news. Like, Deebo Samuel is going to be important in the game, but the Chiefs man coverage, and like, they're going to have to find the cushion. There's just not going to be much space over the middle of the field. Deebo has to find that, and how they're going to be relying on the running game. That's what everyone's telling me down here, is that basically they're acting like the Chiefs have like a high school run defense, which we know is not true. It was middle of the pack. I wonder, you know, how much of that was just by design too, that they didn't care if teams run on them. But we've been getting Denny and I a lot of push, like that the Chiefs run defenses can't hang, like the 49ers might run for 200 yards. And I just wondering, what do you think about that specific matchup of Christian McCaffrey and the 49ers running game against the Chiefs run defense? Because we focus a lot on the Chiefs pass defense because it's so good. What do you think about their run defense and that potential match?
I actually think that the way the Niners want to run the ball aligns pretty well with the Chiefs stopping that approach. Because if you look at the Baltimore game again, Baltimore played a ton of cloud coverages, cover two, cover six, where that corner is in the flat. That's actually a good way to handle this Niners rushing offense because they want to get the ball on the perimeter. So the way the Chiefs want to be structured on defense, I actually think gives them a shot. If you look at a team like Buffalo that ran the ball extremely well against the Chiefs in the playoffs, they're a gap downhill running team. They want to run the ball between the tackles, even if they have James Cook. That's not necessarily the way the Niners want to run the ball. So I think in a lot of people's minds, we've seen them get ground down recently. The Niners have the best rushing offense in the league, arguably. Wouldn't that happen again? And I think the structure of the Niners running game isn't similar enough to some of those other teams that have had success to just say automatically they're going to just run all over them the entire game.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. I have seen that, the way the Chiefs usually run the ball with Pacheco is not great against a 49ers front that is good at defending interior runs, and that's typically how Kansas City runs the ball. So maybe both teams will look at those matchups and kind of switch up what they do. But I guess if the Niners stick with what they've been doing, they're not necessarily attacking like the weakest part of the Kansas City
defense. I would expect more downhill runs from the Niners.
Okay.
And I think one of the matchups that I think would be interesting to watch is Charles Mann, who's not playing in this game, so there's less length on the perimeter for the Chiefs.
Right.
So do they use more five-man fronts to kind of combat some of those perimeter runs if Mike Dana's going to be in there for a minute?
You know, Robert, with the 49ers, you kind of they have so many superstar skill players. You have a lot of people to choose from when, like, so-and-so is going to be the X factor in this game. The Chiefs, you know, it's Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, and Isaiah Pacheco. Do you see any other Chiefs skill player as maybe like a potential X factor for this game, or is it really is just a simple, the Chiefs studs are going to have to deliver?
I think it's just the Chiefs studs, and I think it's because the way that the Niners play dictates you using those three guys specifically. If you look at the numbers, Rashee Rice was 11th in the NFL this year among wide receivers in targets per route run against zone coverage.
Okay.
So the guys ahead of him on that list are all the guys you would expect. The two guys directly ahead of him in that ranking, are Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb. So when teams played zone coverage against the Chiefs, he got borderline elite wide receiver usage. And that's what the Niners do. It's a lot of soft zone coverage. So I expect them to do a lot of the same stuff they did early against Baltimore. Let's just get the ball quickly. Let's get the ball in these guys' hands. Bubbles, flats. Let them do some stuff in space and against a zone-heavy team. So that's what I expect, and Travis Kelce works the exact same way.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if that, you know, also means that Kelce should have a good matchup here as far as, you know, target opportunity, as far as getting open in the middle of the field.
I definitely think so. Yeah. And I think one of the biggest questions I have about that side of the ball specifically is the Chiefs have used all these big personnel groupings in the playoffs. A lot of two tight ends, a lot of three tight ends. The Niners match two and three tight end sets at a higher rate with base defense than any other team in the NFL. So if Oren Burks is going to be on the field for 30, 40 snaps in this game, I guarantee you the Chiefs understand that, and that's something they'll want to pick out with Kelce specifically.
Sure.
So who's going to win, Robert? I was thinking of a more
just
elaborate
question. Just tell us,
question.
Please.
Yeah. I love this Niners team. I love this Niners offense. I think they've been a juggernaut for huge stretches of the season. I think you have one of the best offensive coaches I've ever seen kind of at his apex with the best group of talent that he's ever had. But I think that the way this Chiefs team stacks up with the Niners, I think they have too many advantages. I think a lot of the strengths of the Niners are offset by the strengths of the Chiefs. The teams that have given San Francisco problems, the Chiefs don't have to be out of character to use those game plans. It aligns with who they want to be and what their personnel is on so many different levels, in my opinion.
It does seem like what you've said today is basically the 49ers are going to have to change what they do way more than the Chiefs will have to change what they do.
That's exactly right. Okay. That's how I frame it.
Along those lines, I was trying to remember a question I want to ask you, and then it was day four Radio Row. I was like, my brain no longer works. But does it have to be – so the way the Chiefs got here, grinding it out with the Bills and the Ravens – does it have to be a low-scoring game for the Chiefs to win, which seems insane when it's Patrick Mahomes? Or could it, if this gets into the 20s, the 30s, could that still be a Chiefs victory? Or is that too much on the 49ers' terms?
I don't think it is. I think they absolutely can win a high-scoring game. The only reason it wasn't a high-scoring game against Buffalo is because they didn't have the ball that much. The Bills hung on to it for such long periods of time. If you look at a per-play efficiency in that game, the Chiefs were phenomenal. And the Ravens' defense is an unbelievable unit. What the Ravens did in the second half to Kansas City, I don't think the Niners defense is capable of doing that. So if the Chiefs won 31-27 or a game in that sort of range, that would not surprise me.
I mean, the Niners defense has looked leaky enough, you know, over the past three games for that to happen.
I tweeted at one point that their defense was like high key falling apart, but that was maybe too aggressive.
I mean, the Lions were running roughshod over them. For 2.5 quarters.
And it was the same stuff that we had seen the Packers do a week earlier, and that's what was troubling about it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you have an answer to this after the way the last week went? And
you're right.
They have not developed those, and I think that some of those same weaknesses that have shown up are weaknesses that can show up again based on how the Chiefs want to play.
I was surprised that they had not made the necessary adjustments in the NFC title game after, you know, getting the scare from the Packers,
Well, we've been talking to amazing analysts all week, Drew Dinsick, Kevin Clark, Greg Rosenthal, so many players. We gave Robert Mace the final word on the game. I knew we would just get an amazing. You were downplaying your ball knower credentials.
I'm sad I didn't wear the hot dog suit. Because if I was the last guest, I probably should have. You guys could have gone out with a bang.
We would have loved it. But we had the picture, and that's good enough.
The last guest of the week, follow Robert Mace on Twitter/X. Subscribe to the Athletic Football Show. He's truly one of the best in the business. Robert, we respect you so much. Thank you for taking the time.
I really appreciate it, guys. Always good to chat with you.
Thank you.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus chews.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well.
So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.